expound on it, I should say. And that's, we started the book of Joel. Book of Joel tonight. And we'll go to chapter 1 of the book of Joel. And again, I want to read chapter 1 of the book of Joel. It says so. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Hear this, you old man, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been seen in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which a palmer worm had left had the locust eaten, and that which the locust had left the canker worm had eaten. And that which the canker worm had eaten, had left, the caterpillar eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and yet the cheek teeth of a great lion. He had laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He had made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made alive. Are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers. For the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withheld from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before your eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods. The gardeners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to Thee will I cry. For the fire had devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame had burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto Thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire had devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Let's pray. And so, Lord, again, this is the day that Thou hast made. From the rising of the sun to the going off of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Lord, the psalmist says, let my prayer be set before you as the evening sacrifice. Lord, we understand that this is all your day. Morning and evening, O Lord, it all belongs unto Thee. We want to thank You, Lord, because Thou hast preserved us. Thou hast preserved our lives and our homes. And Lord, Thou hast blessed us this day, Lord, with richest blessings, O Lord God. And as we look at this book of Joel, I pray, Lord, that You would give us understanding. Open our eyes that we may see, that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy Word. For we pray in Jesus, Your Son's name. Amen. 3 points that I want to set before you tonight. But before we do that, again, if you never read the book of Joel or Joel, perhaps even Malachi, some of these minor prophets do not identify themselves, that is, to which tribe does he belong? To during what period did he prophesy? Is he from the north? Is he from the south? Who is he? Is he a pre-exilic or is he a post-exilic prophet? Now, pre-exilic means before they were taken to captivity. Post, obviously, is after that captivity. We don't know. Some say that Joel, or Joel, is before the book of Amos. Now, why? Because of what he says, again, in chapter number 3, if you will, in verse 16, he says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." That's the way Joel ends his prophecy. But Amos picks it up in Amos chapter 1 again. And verse number 2, he says, "And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." So some place the prophet Joel before Amos, not just chronologically, but historically. But when we read this book again, many questions surge. For example, who is Joel? There's many Joels. You go read the Bible, there's a lot of Joels. His name means, again, Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. Now, who is he? During which period does he prophesy? Is the plague that he speaks in verse 4, is that a physical plague? The palmer wood, the locust, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, are they a physical plague? Or is he speaking about the invasion that is about to happen? Or has happened? Or is happening? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know if he is an eyewitness. He's seeing this invasion that is present, or if he sees it prophetically beforehand. Remember, these are prophets, these are seers. They could see things before they came to pass. They would announce it. They would prophesy unto the people. What is the day of the Lord? If you look at the book of Joel, you're going to find out that the day of the Lord is a common theme. You'll see it, for example, Joel chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, "Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Notice again in verse number 11 of chapter 2. "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. He is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it?" Then again, you pick up again this day of the Lord in chapter 2, if you will. In verse 31, he says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." Chapter 3. Verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." So, A careful reading of Joel would lead us to see this, that this is a common theme. The day of the Lord. Now, he speaks of locusts. He speaks of this devastation of the land, which shall be remembered. Nothing like that has ever happened. And I think it did physically happen. I think it does. And I think Joel takes this to warn the people of a greater judgment to come. It's natural what we do when there's natural disasters. It's natural to want to protect our lives. It's natural. It's given in us. I would not have stayed in Corpus or Rockport had they announced to get out. I would get out. I would. There's nothing worth my life. But that is not the end of it all. When I die, beloved, I know my soul will be with the Lord. I know it will. I know it will. I've trusted in Him. I believe in His Word. He has saved me, and I know I will be with Him. But sometimes people flee natural disasters. And this is what Joel, through his eyes, sees. He sees a natural disaster, and it's great. As you read it, you're going to see. It's not just the insects that invade the land and devour everything. There's nothing left. But then comes a drought. And then comes a fire that burns up the rest of it. There's nothing left. And Joel picks that up and says, there's a greater day than that coming. This is temporary. Because God also promises He's going to restore the land. If you read further on in chapters 2 and 3, he says, He promises there's going to be joy again. There's going to be gladness again. The trees are going to come up again. The grass is going to grow up again. The rain is going to come again. But then he also says, but the day of the Lord is coming. Three things. In this prophecy, the day of the Lord is one, and He's calling for a national repentance. It's natural to flee these natural disasters. Beloved, and many people flee natural disasters. But what Joel is calling us and them is that we may flee from the wrath to come, from the day of the Lord. That your soul may be ready for that day. And thirdly, a major theme of this prophecy is not only the day of the Lord, the call for national repentance, but fruits of repentance. So he begins this. And this morning I dealt with the authority behind this message. I like this. Joel takes the background. He takes the back seat, if you will. He says, he begins this, and again, in case you missed it this morning, just like Malachi, he says, the word of the Lord. And again, he does so, beloved, These prophets were not only just prophets, they were writers, they were poets. They were poets. All the beauty of the language. God used them as instruments. Brother, I was thinking about Peter when he wrote Peter. I mean, Peter was a fisherman. But for him to write that way, the way he wrote Peter. But let's go back to Joel. He is a seer. And he purposely picks this name, the Word of the Lord. Doing so, remember, he speaks about the eternity of this Word, the eternity of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. You don't think heaven and earth shall pass away. That's not the way you and I think. But they will. But he says, but my words shall never pass away. Amen. The authority behind this is the Lord. The dominion. Now he says eternity again. Beloved, because their lives, our lives are frail, our lives are temporary. Look what he says again. And he begins this, verse 2, old men. Old men. Compared to the ancient of days, there's nothing. Your age and mine compared to his is nothing. So he begins with the angel, and that's why he picks the Lord, the self-existing one, the eternal. But he also speaks about his dominion. I love the way Joel develops this prophecy. He has dominion, verse 4, over all these insects, all these plagues. You know, the book of Proverbs speaks about this. The locusts having no overseer, they all fly in bands. Who sent these palmer worms? Who sent these canker worms? And who sent these caterpillars into this land? Dominion. He has control, and I believe, again, let me just give it to you now. I believe there is a physical fulfilling of this prophecy, and that the land was devastated by these plagues, but I believe also that he speaks when it was invaded. Why? Because he says in verse number 2, a day of darkness of chapter 2, and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There had not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. That God brings these people. Who is Assyria? Assyria is the axe in the hand of the Lord. Who is Nebuchadnezzar? He's the chastening rod in the hand of the Lord. Who is Cyrus? Have you read the scriptures? Who is Cyrus? Was he a Christian? No, he was not a Christian. But God foretold of Cyrus that he would command to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And he did so. During which prophets? Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah. The temple was rebuilt. He's just an instrument. God has dominion over men. God has dominion over the elements. God has dominion over the insects. But also he speaks, when he uses the word of the Lord, he speaks about the permanence of the word and the faithfulness of his word. We read this morning Moses, and I'm not going to read it tonight. Where Moses in Deuteronomy 13 gives us again the description of a true prophet and a false prophet. Anyone who proclaims the name of the Lord falls under this scrutiny. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. Joel begins establishing the authority behind his vision and his message. The message comes from the Lord of hosts. The Eternal One sends His message and His messenger. Doesn't matter who He is. Doesn't matter who He is. Doesn't matter if He can't speak. Doesn't matter if He can't put things together. Doesn't matter if He has a stammering tongue. Doesn't matter, beloved. Doesn't matter if He's a priest, perhaps like I think Ezekiel might have been, or Jeremiah. Doesn't matter if he was high like Isaiah, high of society like I believe Isaiah was. It doesn't matter if he was like Amos. Just a farmer. Doesn't matter. Because what matters, beloved, is the Word of the Lord. It's not the instrument. It's the Word of the Lord. The Holy One, the Eternal One, sends His message and His messenger to call the people to repentance. The holy men of God to whom the Word of the Lord came, they're all gone. And that's why He says the Word of the Eternal One, the Word of the I Am, the Word of the Self-Existing One. They're gone. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. Elisha is gone. By this time, beloved, perhaps even Isaiah is gone. I don't know. John the Baptist is gone. You'll be gone. I'll be gone. Fourth generation from now, if He doesn't come, that generation will also be gone. But He still abides forever. Amen. See, these people whom He's addressing would soon die and meet the Eternal One. Are you ready to meet the Eternal One? You say, well, I'm ready, Joe. If you haven't made peace with God, if you have not thrown your weapons of rebellion against Him, you're not ready to meet with God. I'll show you in a bit why. He begins by addressing the old men. And He's calling them to repentance. And I've done this. I've gone through the first chapter. And I've seen where He uses words to call them. Phrases. I didn't go through verse 2, but chapter 2. But let's go over Joel chapter 1. Let's see what He says. What is He calling them to do? Joel 1 verse 2. Hear this. It's interesting that, again, prophets used illustrations. They used different manners of speaking, different manners of writing. They used prose, poetry, symbolism, alliteration, irony, different modes, metaphor, hyperbole. Different manners of writing to us. But it's to draw our attention. What do you mean, Brother Joe? Well, because it is a given that men have ears to hear. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, both of them hath the Lord made. That's what the Scripture says. And yet we would say an ox is a dumb ox. A donkey is a dumb animal. But they're the ones who are perplexed. Listen. What He says in Joel chapter number 1 and verse number 20. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee. That's irony. It's the people made in the image of God who should be crying unto their God. But it's the beasts of the field that are crying unto God. It's irony. But He says, hear this. Chapter 1 and verse 3. Tell ye your children. Verse 5. Awake. Awake. Verse number 8. Lament. And notice how He uses figurative language. Notice what He says. I want you to lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Verse 11. Be ashamed. Verse 13, gird yourselves. Verse 14, sanctify ye a fast. And then chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet. Sound an alarm. He's calling them to repent. Beloved, He calls these men of old because perhaps they could recall their days of youth. Now they're old. Their withered bodies and faded glory, once strong and glorious on the brink of eternity. I would like to read what Isaiah says now in chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 6. And again, this is Isaiah. And John takes the same. He picks up right what Isaiah and all the other prophets have said. I'm just a voice. Doesn't matter if you remember my name or not. I don't care if you remember my name or not. You know that? I don't care if you do. I don't care, brother. I don't care if you remember my name. I don't care if my name is ever remembered. As a matter of fact, I'd rather not be remembered. But I would want you to remember the word of the Lord. That's what I would want you to remember. Because it doesn't matter. You believe in me? No, you don't believe in me. You believe in the Lord. Okay? And now, I tell you that because it doesn't matter who preaches this word. If he follows what the Scripture says, don't look at the manner in which he delivers the word. Look whether he actually delivers the word. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I cannot preach like some preachers. None of us can preach like Spurgeon. None of us can preach like Whitfield. None of us can preach like Gordon. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's not what matters. It's the word that matters. I'm in the back. That's all right. Verse 6 says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This word shall stand. They were old. And the fourth generation after them would grow old and become old. But the Lord still abides the same. Amen. Thou art the same. Amen. I like what he says again in Psalm 102, which the writer of Hebrews picks up, but I want to read just Psalm 102. In Psalm 102, you know, even the heavens. You know, we've seen, and children, we have witnessed two mighty acts of God this week. The eclipse was one of them. That was beautiful. We probably won't see it again. Not us. Probably be gone. But you may not see it either. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. Then you look at this hurricane. As we came over here, you know, I sing just because I like to sing. Dark is his path on the wings of the storm. I love to see the majestic clouds. I love to see them. I love to see them dark and thunder. I love that. I do. I love it. I got simple mind. Yeah, I tell my wife, that cloud has water. She says, duh. But how many tons of water does it have? And yet one little drop of water, if I just let it right here, it's going to drop down. But those waters are sustained and maintained by the hand. When God says, pour it down, they just pour it down. They got 10 feet of water, 20 feet of water. And there's still some up there. That's my God. Psalm 102, verse 25. Psalmist says here, of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish. First generation, second generation, third generation, fourth generation, even the heavens shall perish. But thou shalt endure. Amen. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The Ancient of Days. The word, the phrase in Joel chapter 1, the word of the Lord also reveals His dominion. His dominion. From the men which now were to the children which shall be, even from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. I want you to go with me to Daniel. I know this is a familiar passage, but let's go see Daniel chapter 4. Again, I'm not going to make comments. This is a heathen king. And what does he say? In Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 3, he says, how great are his signs. See, even he said that. How great are his signs? How great are his signs? How great are his signs? How mighty are his wonders? Man, this is a heathen guy. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. Chapter 4, verse 34. He says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. Amen. I'm going to die. Eric, you're going to die. Nathan and Joseph are going to die. Their children are going to die. Their children's children are going to die. But guess what? God's still abiding forever. And by grace, and my prayer is that He will be their God also. That He would be their God. He sovereignly reigns over the four plagues that invade the land. He majestically rules over the elements of the earth. Go with me to Joel chapter 2, please, verse 22. Joel chapter 2. Again, if I say Joel and sometimes Joel, you understand what I mean. But He rules majestically over the elements. If you've never read the Psalms, the Psalm, I think it's 92 all the way to Psalm 99, speak of the majesty of our God. You know what? Let's just read one of those. The occasion is proper for it. Let's just read one. Let's read Psalm 92. No, 93. He says, the Lord reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith He had girded Himself. The word also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Look what He says. The floods have lifted up. Oh, Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. See that? The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Did you see those pictures? Those waves just going. His voice is mightier than that. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Now let's go to Joel chapter 2. He turns the heart of the king to do whatsoever he willeth. The beast of the field, the men, the army that are going to invade. In Joel chapter 2, verse 22, he says, "Be not afraid, ye beast of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring. The tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God." Amen. See that? Rejoice in the Lord your God. See, Joel has this message of repentance, and those that repent rejoice. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of restoration. He says, "He had given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore." You see that? Verse 25. I will restore. Maybe God has taken these things away from the land, or will come and take these things, and it's bad, beloved. It's bad for them. There's nothing left. There's no corn to eat. There's no wine for joy. There's no oil to anoint yourself with gladness. All three things have been taken away. Joy, gladness, and sustenance. They've been taken away by God. And worse, there's no hope. Because the sun had withered what was left. And then a fire comes and burns up the rest. You said, there is no hope. Well, God says, it's a time of repentance. It's a time of restoration, and it's a time of restitution. I will restore, verse 25, the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. See that? What's needed? Well, Jesus told the same thing to the church. Repent, remember, and return. I'm just an instrument, says Joel. I'm an instrument in the hand of the Lord. You know, the only other place where Joel or Joel is quoted by name is the book of the Acts. And he says, this is what the prophet. He doesn't even call himself the prophet. Somebody else calls him the prophet of the Lord. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. Beloved, the constellations, whether they rule by day or night, continue this day because the Lord willeth. Joel chapter 1. Let me conclude. What does His name mean? Jehovah is God. I like that. I like names that speak of our God. I like that. Joel. I love that name. I like that name. Not because it has Joe in it, but Joel. I like Elisha. Elijah. They mean something. I like Isaiah. God is my salvation. His father, he names his father the son of Petuel. But we don't even know who he is. We have no record of who Joel or Petuel are. But the New Testament reveals that he was a holy man. Wait a minute, Brother Joe, I thought you said Acts chapter 2 spoke about Joel. No. 2 Peter says, no prophecy, it was any private interpretation. For it did not come in time old by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke or spake. Holy men of God. Holy man of God. I want you to remember that. Because this was necessary for this man to carry the word of the Holy One. He himself had to be holy. But when we look at these examples of these men that I'm going to set before you, they didn't see themselves holy. They didn't. Their calling and sending came from the Holy One of Israel. As a matter of fact, you see their men, their first reaction is, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Moses put up a lot of excuses. I'm a stammering tongue. I can't even speak right. But you know, let me mention these and then we'll pick up again. When Moses met the Lord at Mount Horeb, he hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Samuel, he says, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I want you to look tonight at Ezra. I would have you turn to Ezra. It's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Hope. Ezra chapter 9. I love this man, Ezra. I happen to be reading between Ezra and Nehemiah. And look what he says. Verse 6. Again, remember. Speaking about Joel's being a holy man. Ezra 9:6, he says, and said, oh my God, I'm ashamed. I am ashamed. The message is for the people. Do you get what I'm saying? The message is for the people. For the people to turn from their iniquities. The message is meant for them. They're sinning against God. They're whatever they're doing, whether they're having idols, whether they're forsaking the God of Israel, whatever they're doing, but the message is against them. And it's the prophet of God that reacts, I'm ashamed. I blush up, he says, verse 6, to lift up my face to thee. My God. Our iniquities are increased over our head. Our trespasses grown up unto the heaven. That's a man of God right there. What does Job say? I'll just pick some examples. What does Job have to say? Job chapter 42, verse 1. He says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I've uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, I will speak. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore? See that? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is holy man of God. What about Isaiah? We know Isaiah. The king died, Uzziah, and he saw the vision in the temple, seraphims. He said, woe is me. I'm a man. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Remember, these are men, beloved. Some of them had high offices. Some of them were, again, royal. Some of them were just fishermen. Some of them were just, you know, agricultural people. Doesn't matter. What matters is the word that they preached.
Amen.
Look at Jeremiah. Again, who's Jeremiah? He says the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests. He's one of the priests that were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, the 13th year of his reign, and it also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, for I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, see? I cannot speak. I'm a child. What about Ezekiel? And we can go on. We could go on. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 28. Ezekiel 1 and verse 28. It says, in the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. Joel, beloved, is that holy man, that holy one of Israel. He could see his own frailties, his own sin, because they had that communication with the Almighty. They were sent out by the Almighty. They were sent by the Holy One to speak unto rebellious people. They sow their own iniquities. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Job, Ezra, Samuel, Moses. They sow their own iniquities in the light of the Lord's presence. Of how greater magnitude was the sin of those who refused to repent? Tell me. How much greater? So is he pre-exilic? Post-exilic? What time did he prophesy? What tribe did he belong to? We don't know. We found out this morning that he prophesied in Jerusalem. He knew a little bit about the priesthood. No, he knew a lot about the priesthood, I should say. He knew some things about agriculture. So was he a priest? Did he live, sustain himself agriculturally? Oh, no. We don't know. But this we know. The word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Amen? Let's stand.